chapter number 22, Genesis chapter number 22. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand here one more time and preach. If you will, pray for my voice. Pray I hold through this. If you will, stand with me as I read the Word of God. Begin reading in verse number 1, Genesis chapter number 22. And the Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, that only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and get and offer him for there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the burnt wood for the burnt the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand, the knife, and they went both them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do another thing unto him. For now I see thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, that only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Let's pray this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity one more time to be able to stand, God, behind this sacred desk. God, I never want to take it for granted. God, never want to miss the opportunity, God, to say thank you one more time for the ability to be able to stand and preach. God, thank you that you would somehow, God, considered me, dear Lord, to be able to proclaim your word. God, I pray tonight I would not disappoint you. God, I pray tonight you give me power from on high. God, I cannot stand here alone. God, if these people are looking for me, God, they'll leave here disappointed. God, and they'll leave here empty-handed. God, but if they'll allow you, God, to be able to speak to their heart, God, they leave here, God, a changed person than when they came into this place. God, I pray you help me to say, God, exactly what you'd have me to say, nothing more, nothing less, God, and get out of the way. God, I pray you'd receive the glory, God, and you'd receive the honor tonight, God, for it's in your name we do pray. God, in that name that's above every other name, in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a few minutes on the thought. We all have heard this story many times about Abraham and Isaac. And I want to preach just a few minutes on the question, what if God wants your Isaac? What if God wants your Isaac tonight? And we know that, like I said, we've heard the story many, many times of Abraham and Isaac. And I want us to go back and look in chapter number 17, in the previous chapter, chapter 17 and verse 15. First of all, we see that, by the way of introduction, God had promised Abraham, Isaac, his son. God had promised to give Isaac to Abraham. Verse 15 of chapter 17, it said, "And God said unto Abraham, For Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her, also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him from everlasting covenant and with his seed after him." So first of all, we see that God had promised Abraham to give him Isaac, and Abraham laughed. Abraham said, "I'm too old. God, you can't do that. I'm too old. I'm 100 years old. My wife's 90. He thought that this was impossible. And we look over in chapter number 18 and verse 14. God answered that question. He said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Let me say this. There's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. Whatever situation you're going through tonight, you may feel like the lowest part. You say, "God, I'm too old. God, I'm not old enough. God, I'm too feeble. God, I'm too weak to do that." But God can ask you the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And let me say, there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord tonight, and I'm so thankful that there isn't. First of all, I want to look and get into my message. First of all, I want to see in chapter 20, in verse 17, we see Abraham's wants. Abraham said in verse 17 of chapter 20, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his maidservants, and they bare children. Abraham, first of all, he had good wants. He wanted a child. He desired a child of God, and he desired Isaac, and God had already promised to give him Isaac, and he was going to. Abraham had good wants. There was nothing wrong with what Abraham wanted. There was nothing wrong by giving him Isaac. Let me say this. You may have something in your life. It is a good want. There's nothing wrong with it in itself, but if God wants it, God's going to get it, whether you give it to him or whether he's going to take it from you. Not only do you see that he had good wants, but let's look over in Psalm chapter number 37 and verse number 4. I'll turn there. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. A lot of us quote that verse and we say, God will give you the desires of your heart. Whatever I want in my heart, God's going to give it to me. No, but we miss out on the first part of that verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I believe honestly that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, our desires are going to be as God's desires. We're not going to want what God doesn't want. We're going to want what God wants for our life, and our will is going to be in line with His. We shouldn't go to God and say, God, change your will to be my will. No, we should go to God and say, God, I want my will to be in line with your whatever you want in my life, God, that's what I want. So Abraham had good wants, but he also had God's wants. But only to see Abraham had wants in his life, but I believe we see Abraham had willingness in his life. Chapter number 22 and verse 3, the Bible said, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. God, back in the first two verses of that chapter, God had told him, okay, Abraham, I just gave you Isaac. I just gave you the exact thing that you wanted in your life, and you had prayed about it, and I promised I was going to give it to you, but now I want him back. And yeah, it'd have been real easy, no doubt, for Abraham to give up. Why did you want me to do that? God, why you just gave him to me. Why are you taking him back? And let me say this, God may give you something, but he really wants it back, and he may not even want exactly what Isaac is, but he wants you to be willing. And we see that Abraham was. Abraham didn't question God why. He didn't say, God, where am I going? We look back in that verse number 2, it said, and go into Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. He didn't tell him where he was going. He just said, go to the land of Moriah. We were up in the mountains a couple weekends ago when I preached this message, and you look over the mountain range, you see mountain after mountain. Yeah, it's all in the same city, but there's so many mountains, and that's the same situation that Abraham was in. He went into the city of Moriah, but he had no idea where he was going. He could have questioned God and said, God, where am I going? God, why do you want me to go here? But no, he went exactly what God had told him. There's so many times in our Christian walk that God tells us to go do something. We want to know where it's at. We want to know why we're doing it. We want to know who we're going to talk to. We're going to know how they're going to react. But in reality, all we need to say, God, if you want me to go, God, I'll go. God, I don't care the circumstances. I know that if you want me to go there, you'll be there with me all the way through the end. When God tells you to do something, you better do it. As he told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. He turned away and went the complete opposite way of Nineveh. But God ended up breaking his will, and he did go. And God will break your will if you don't listen to him and go when he tells you. His willingness was immediate. It said that he rose up early in the morning. He didn't sit around and say, God, well, I'm going to see if God changed his mind. No, God didn't change his mind. God's not going to change his mind this evening. If he tells you to do something, he wants you to do it immediately. But all do you see that his willingness was immediate, but I see his willingness showed that he was in accordance with God. He didn't understand. No doubt, he was just a man, just as we are. And when he told him to give him his son, he had to have doubts in his mind. God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand why you want me to give back the same thing that you just gave me. But we don't see that anywhere in the scripture. No, he trusted God enough to be able to say, God, I don't understand it. God, I don't understand what you're sending me through, but I'm going to trust you enough to go. There's many times in our own life, and there's going to come times in your life where God's going to tell you, give me something or go do something. You're not going to understand it. You're going to question, God, I don't understand why, but I'm going to trust you enough. And God wants to see that faith in your life, and he will end up blessing that. Oh, that we can have that kind of faith to be able to say, God, whatever you want in my life, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, if it's my own kids, if it's whatever it is, God wants 110% of your life. He doesn't want you to open up this door and keep that door closed. He wants you to open up and say, God, whatever you want in my life, I'll be willing to give it to you. As it said in that verse 1, he said, here I am. It's about time we stop saying, okay, when Brother Ben gets right, I'll get right. Or Brother Tim gets right. We need to say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God, do something with my life. Do something in my life. No matter what anybody else does, I've learned a long time ago, and especially from Pastor Shelton, that when I come to church, I'm not looking at y'all. I'm not looking, I'm not not looking to see Brother Tim's going to get in. I come to get in, and that's up to you. The Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. If you come to church and you desire things of God, God will give you those things. But if you come and you just sit back and you say, God, I don't really want nothing. God, I'm just going to come. That's exactly what you're going to leave here with. You're not going to leave here with anything other than what you want tonight. But God's always there to give you what you want. But not only do you see Abraham's wants and his willingness, but I see in verse 4, I believe you see Abraham's wondering. It said in verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. God told him, like I said, to go to the land of Moriah. He didn't tell him where he was going, though. He didn't tell him in what direction. And no doubt he had to get tired. He probably got weary on the journey. Isaac might have said, Daddy, where are we going? Daddy, I don't know. Where are we going? And he probably said, Son, God knows exactly where he's sending us. And there's going to be times in your life you may feel like you feel like I'm trusting God. I know I'm in the will of God. I know I'm doing what God's told me to do, but I don't know where he's at. I don't understand why he's sending me this way. And I'll give a little illustration. I've never done an illustration besides the one night, but I heard a story of an Indian tribe and what they would do. They would send the young men out to become boys. They would have to send them out into the wilderness and they would have to stay out in that wilderness all night by themselves. And in the morning they could come back to camp, and that's how they would become a man. So this older man took his son out there, and he'd set his son down on a rock, and he said, "Now, son, I want you to stay here all night. You're going to hear the wolves howling. You're going to hear everything else around you, and it's going to be scary. It's going to be lonely. You're going to feel cold, but I want you to sit right here and don't move." So he went over there, and he put the son down. He put a blindfold around him. I got the handkerchief. I'll use that. And he put that blindfold around him. That son sat there all night, and he said, and he heard the wolves, and he thought the dad had left. He heard the wolves, and he said, I'm scared, but I don't want to let my daddy down. I don't want to let him down. I can't go back to camp now. I have to stay right here because if I don't, there's no way I can become a man. And there's going to be times in your life where you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel like there's nobody else around. But stay right there. Stay where God's put you. Because that next morning, he seen that son peeking through the blindfold, and he took that blindfold off. He said, I made it through the night. And just about as he took that first step, he felt somebody tug on the back of his shirt, and he turned around, and who was it? It was nobody but his daddy. He said, "Daddy, I was alone. Daddy, I was scared. Daddy, I didn't know what I was going to have to face. Daddy, I thought I was going to die. And be honest, Daddy, I didn't hear you sneak up this morning. When did you get here?" And his daddy said, "I've been here the whole time, son. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to know you're not going to feel God. You're not going to know where God's at, and you're going to turn around, and you're going to say, 'God, when did you get here? God, I didn't feel you. I didn't hear you sneak up. You didn't tell me you were here.' But God's going to say, 'I've been there the whole time. I never left you nor forsake you.' God will always be there in your wandering times of your life. God will be there till the end. He never will. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother tonight. He will not leave you nor forsake you tonight. And I'm so thankful that like we sung this morning, that unseen hand that protects me. There's many times in my life where God's turned me this way and turned me this way, and I didn't understand it at the time. And I questioned, 'God, why is that happening?' But that unseen hand's always been there to protect me, and it always will be. Not only do you see Abraham's wants, in his willingness, but in his wandering, but I see lastly, I believe we see Abraham's worship. Look in verse number 5, the Bible says, Abraham said unto his young men, 'Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again.'" First of all, Abraham had enough faith to say, "I don't understand what's going on. God's told me to offer my son, but I got enough faith," as he said in that verse, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." He had enough faith in God to know that God was going to provide himself a burnt offering. And as it said in verse number 8, look in verse number 8 with me. "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.' So they went, both of them together." He said, "God, son, we don't know what's going to happen, but I know that God's going to take care of us." And let me say this, you may be facing a physical situation or a spiritual situation. You don't know how you're ever going to make it. You may feel like you're down. You may not understand what God's doing in your life, but God will take care of his children. God will not leave him alone. "I've come too far, and God's done too many things for me to doubt him now." How can we think that the God of heaven, the God that created everything in the world, the God that saved us, and we think our problems are too big for God to handle? No, there's not one problem too big or too small for God to handle. Your willingness just to say, "Lord, here am I, send me. Do something in my heart brings him glory." And your willingness to go where God tells you to go brings God worship, but also your faith in God will bring him glory tonight. And we also, and now, In closing, I want to say, what's your Isaac tonight? Is your Isaac something good? Maybe it's just to yourself, whether it be a relationship, whether it be your friends. And in itself, there's nothing wrong with it. But whatever's coming between you and God, that's your Isaac tonight. And God wants you to lay it down and say, God, whatever you want, God, whatever you want in my life, get rid of it. And let me say this, there is a reward for getting rid of your Isaac. Let's look over in chapter number 22 and verse 15. The Bible says, in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn and saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and not withheld thy son, that only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply the seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sands upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. We see that there is a reward. God, once you get rid of your Isaac, God will reward you for the rest of your life. God will take you to places that you've never been before. God will give you peace that you've never had before. There's many times in our own life where we lay that down, and God gives us that peace, and God gives us that joy that we thought never could happen. So let me ask you tonight, what's your Isaac? Is it something that nobody else knows about? Is it something that's good to you, but God wants it? Abraham was willing to give up his Isaac. Are you willing? I'm going to have Miss Ariel come to the piano. And felt that Lord wanted me to sing this song. If you pray for me, I'll sing it, Miss Ariel.
God would give him a son. Blessed Isaac was his name, the greatest gift that he'd ever known. Then came the day, who would have dreamed God would say, you gotta give him back to me. And on this mountain you must prove that it's you and Isaac, or it's me and you. So when I lay my Isaac down with a broken heart, but my father's proud, and on this altar where he lay, just to find that it wasn't him God wanted me. Now most of us, I dare to say, we've got an Isaac standing in God's way. But on this altar you can prove that it's not your Isaac that God wants, but he wants you. So when I lay my Isaac down with a broken heart, but my father's proud, and on this altar where he lay, just to find that it wasn't him God wanted me. And on this altar where he lay, just to find that it wasn't God wanted me.
Let's all stand. Dallas has already started the invitation tonight. I tell you, one of the greatest victories in Abraham's life was when he said, God, there's going to be nothing between me and you. Abraham didn't know how that thing was going to work out. All he knew was God told him he wanted his son. He went up to the mountain. But he knew God's promise. He knew that if God took him, God had the power to resurrect him. He was trying to figure it out. But the great thing is, we don't have to figure it out. We just believe God, because God's right. God's always good. God only asks for that thing that's going to bring him maximum glory. And like I said, the greatest victory we'll ever have is when we lay it on the altar. Dallas is going to sing some more of that tonight. I don't know if God's put his finger on your heart tonight, but I tell you what, I feel the presence of God in this place. I believe there's power for victory in this. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected from the dead, he put resurrection power in you. So I can't overcome this. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. He gave it to you. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Just like when you came and you got saved. And you couldn't figure out how God was going to work it out. You just laid it on the altar. Here it is again. And it's just about like getting saved all over again. Dallas is going to sing. I want to have a word of prayer before he does. Let's ask God to liberate this service. Whatever's got you bound, whatever's binding you tonight, may God release it tonight and let you get victory. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your presence in this place tonight. Thank you for this blessed, historic, powerful truth in your word. I pray, God, that you stirred that heart tonight. I pray that the Spirit of God is heavy on the hearts of your people tonight. God, there's victory to be gained tonight, obtained tonight. Jesus has already done the work. He's already paid the price for the victory tonight. Help us, God, as this good word has been preached tonight, as this good song has been sung tonight, that we'd lay it on the altar, Lord. I'm glad that you're ready. I'm glad that you're waiting. God, I pray that if Satan may try to hinder, God, as we try to reason things out tonight, we'd realize how unreasonable faith is. And I pray, God, we'd just trust and believe, God, that you are able. And I pray that you'd breathe on this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.